If you want to turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 29. Okay, we're going to think about Jesus, the complete healer, this morning. We're just going to read these verses in Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, you remember last time Jesus was in the synagogue teaching, and he'd driven out an evil spirit from a man. As soon as they had left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. There was some fantastic news this week for cystic fibrosis sufferers. I expect most of us know at least one or two individuals who suffer from this. And it is encouraging to hear that they will be able to get a new drug on the NHS, which can really, really help them. And we live in days where medical knowledge of the human body is actually quite remarkable, where the possibilities for prolonging human life abound. Often the problem is funding, isn't it? And these new drugs apparently can cost up to £100,000 a year for an individual. I think they've managed to do a deal with the pharmacy company to cut that cost somewhat. But what price can you put on a life? Of course, some diseases remain without cure. And in the end, I suppose whatever remedies are found, they can only really postpone the inevitable for any one of us. And when Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago, there were people there suffering from all kinds of ailments, just as today. Jesus had continued on that day, leaving the synagogue where he'd been preaching and where he'd cast out a demon from the man, and it is whisked away to Simon and Andrew's house, where Simon's mother-in-law is laid up in bed with a fever. A mother-in-law is part of the package when you get married. We were having a bit of discussion about that earlier. Sadly, my mother-in-law was only around for 8 years after we got married, before, sadly, she died. So my experience is less than a lot of other guys, I suppose, with mother-in-laws. Someone once asked, what's the difference between an outlaw and an in-law? Do you know? The difference is outlaws are wanted. There you go. I guess that that most guys don't particularly look for a mother-in-law, but if you kind of get married, it comes with the package, doesn't it? It comes with the deal. And with that, it places certain responsibilities on you towards your mother-in-law. And these were responsibilities that Peter clearly took seriously when his mother-in-law was ill. Families tended to live much more in sense of community than we do today, where people lived with lots of generations. So it would seem that she was in the house where Peter lived. In Luke, the doctor's account, he says that this lady was in the grip of a high fever. So this wasn't a mild cold. This was a life-threatening experience for her. It's possible some commentators believe that she was suffering from malaria, which was apparently common in that lakeside environment at the time. We don't really know for sure. But Jesus had been told about her, and the implication from that is that Simon and Andrew, in telling Jesus about her, believed that Jesus could do something to help her. And that's the first thing I really notice this morning about Jesus coming to this woman, is that the disciples' belief in the healing power of Jesus. Verse 30. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. If Jesus could deal with an evil spirit, as they had just seen, they had no problem believing that Jesus could heal their relative. I wonder today, do we believe that Jesus can heal people? Jesus is not here today in bodily, physical form for us. But there are passages in the Bible that point to the fact that the prayer offered in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ can make a sick person well. Now, we're not going to ignore the medical support that we have at our disposal in this country today. But neither should we rule out the miraculous power of Jesus for healing. Now, let's be straight. Sometimes God, in his sovereign purpose and will, chooses not to heal someone, even when we pray for them. It doesn't always work out as we wanted. It isn't always in God's purpose to heal everybody. But surely we should approach God in the same attitude as Peter and Andrew here, with the faith that says, Lord, if you're willing, if this is your purpose, you can heal her. You can heal him. You can deal with whatever we're facing. So that's the first thing, is the belief in the healing power of Jesus. And secondly, we see that Jesus demonstrates power over sickness. So he went to her, verse 31, he took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. Interestingly, three of the gospel writers corroborate what happened. They give us a slightly different slant on what happened. Matthew says Jesus touched the woman. What a tender touch it was. How powerful and effective. Mark says he took her by the hand and lifted her up. Luke mentions that Jesus particularly stood over her and rebuked the fever that was within her. Jesus told the fever to leave her in much the same way as he just told the evil spirit to leave the man in the synagogue. Jesus has that power to rebuke evil spirits, illness, and later in the Gospels we see he even has the power to rebuke the wind in the storm on Galilee. Whatever Jesus rebuked, whatever Jesus commanded, it happened. So in this and the subsequent healings and miracles that are recorded, Jesus demonstrates comprehensively to people that he's more than just a mere man, but that he has, in fact, got the powers of heaven at his disposal. And to me, this makes the death of Jesus on the cross later on all the more remarkable. As he hung there, some said to him, "You saved others, save yourself." He could have brought a whole legion of angels down to save him from the cross. He could have just as easily brought him down himself from that cross. But he chose to go through with it. He chose the path of suffering. For most of us, when suffering comes, it's not something we choose for ourselves. It's something that happens to us. But he deliberately picked the path of suffering. And why? To deal with our greatest need, to deal with our sin, in order to save us. We've seen the disciples' belief in the healing power of Jesus. We've seen his power over sickness, how he demonstrates his power over sickness. And thirdly, I want us just to notice how effective his healing power was. Again, in verse 31, look how effective it was. So he went to her, he took her hand, and he helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. What a result! The fever was completely gone, so that she was able to wait on them. For most people, when they're ill, and when there is a restoration, it's usually a long road back, isn't it, from the illness. Illness leaves people weak. It takes time to regain our strength. But notice, the woman one minute is literally paralyzed by the fever, and the next minute she's going about her usual domestic responsibilities. She doesn't say, "Well, I'm really glad to be over the fever, but I'm totally exhausted by the experience." Every symptom is gone. The flushed cheeks, the burning hot skin, the profuse sweating, the dryness of the throat, the violent shivering, whatever it was, the lethargy that usually accompanies such illness, all had completely vanished. I can imagine her relatives saying, "Sit down, dear. Take a rest." We've been trying to encourage Sandy, haven't we, to take a rest because she's been unwell. You need time to get over it. But this woman is as right as rain. She's on top of the world. She's feeling tremendous. And that's the capacity of Jesus to heal completely. And it doesn't take long for word to get around about the remarkable recovery and also the news of the restoration of the man freed from the evil spirit. And soon the whole town is knocking at the door, ringing the bell, as we hear in our advert. You know the one. You can't get it out. You're all singing it. "I'm knocking at the door, ring." Yeah, the whole town is there knocking at the door, ringing the bell, with every ailment imaginable. Those possessed by demons as well. Jesus is mobbed. And so we read verse 32. That evening, been a long day already, hasn't it? That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he drove out the demons. And the thing I want us to notice here is that Jesus' healing power is available for all. It was available to all who would come to him in faith. It had been an incredibly long day, but Jesus stayed there, meeting the needs of every last one who called on his services. His power was never lacking. His love and sympathy are unabating. There is no distinction of cases. "Well, I can help you, but I can't help you." There is no distinction of class. There's no turning around and saying, "I'm sorry, I can't do anything for you," or "I've had a long day, come back tomorrow." He healed them all. who is now ringing up the doctor for an appointment and saying, well, I can't see you till next week. That's what we get, isn't it? There aren't any appointments. Jesus is there to hear us right now with whatever we're suffering from. He just wants us to call on him. Verse 34 is a curious verse because Jesus stops the demons speaking and declaring who he was. Why did he do this? And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. I believe the likelihood is that Jesus at this time doesn't want his true identity as the Son of God to kind of be too widely reported, to get out to the authorities too quickly. Because if they got wind of who Jesus claimed to be, that then they'd have clamped down on him and his ministry might not have gone on so long. He has a ministry amongst ordinary people, but the appointed time for Jesus to die wasn't yet. He had much more to achieve, to do and to say, many people to reach. So all the time he was kind of managing this time frame, wanting to spread his influence and power to people, but knowing that the time for his death was not for about 3 years in the future, about a 3-year ministry. It was all going to happen at the appointed time. So it was all kind of managed, really, in how much information he gave out and how quickly things spread. Now, let's be honest here. Some skeptics might be inclined to look at these healings and say, wow, it was great what he did, but it was still only temporary. Is Peter's mother-in-law still with us today to tell the tale? No. Where are the other people that Jesus healed now? Where is Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead? Well, the answer is that they've all subsequently died, haven't they? They've all gone on since. So is Jesus no better than conventional medicine? Able perhaps to prolong life, but ultimately not able to sustain it. How do we answer such criticism? Well, we need to go to Dr. Luke's account and Jesus' own explanation of why he came to earth and what he was actually about in his ministry. Luke 4, verse 16. He, Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus had come to proclaim good news to the poor, to set prisoners free, and perhaps some literal prisoners were set free, but certainly people imprisoned by evil spirits and diseases. He had come to heal, he came to give recovery of sight to the blind. There are examples of that in the Gospels, aren't there, of people who are blind, who are physically restored. But he'd come also to restore the spiritually blind. And ultimately, he has come to offer God's favor to men and women. He's come to give people a new life and a fresh start, and to give them ultimately an eternal hope that goes beyond the lifespan of our frail human bodies. He's come for much more than just sustaining what we have now, keeping it going for a bit longer. Because we can't sustain what we have now forever. With all our medical advances, we can't sustain it. And the reality is that we all suffer from a far worse ailment than any of these physical things, and it is a dreadful disease called sin. And that's not a popular word, but it is something that we all need a cure from. Because in Romans we read that the wages of sin is what? Is death. Is death. Ever since sin came into the world, we are dying people. Maybe we're able to find a medical cure for a while, but we're all physically dying. And one day we're going to die, and we're going to give an account of our lives to God. And every single one of us has failed to live up to God's moral standard of perfection. And we all deserve an eternity of separation from God forever, which is hell. The wages of sin is death. But that's not the end of the verse, because the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus comes to offer us much more than a temporary fix. He comes to deal with that worst illness of our sin. He comes to pay the penalty of our sin as he takes the judgment of God the Father on himself on the cross. And who benefits from this wonder drug that is the death of Jesus on our behalf? Who benefits from that? All who place their faith in Jesus for his healing, for his complete healing. Just as Simon Peter and Andrew trusted Jesus to heal Peter's mother-in-law, so we must trust Jesus Christ to completely heal us. We must exercise that same measure of faith. And who did Jesus die for? A select group of people? He died once for all, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. But we have to take him at his word. We have to believe. On that night in Capernaum, Jesus waits patiently. He heals anyone who comes to him in faith. And he still does today. He heals any of us who come to him in faith. I wonder if that night there were those who stayed away or were skeptical about his ability to help them. His restoration remains only effective in those who believe. Make no mistake, Jesus has the power as the complete healer for you and me. He can deal with our physical illnesses and ailments and problems now, but he comes ultimately to be the complete healer. Philippians 3 from verse 18. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you even again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. But thankfully, this one we've got here now, which is wearing out and pretty useless a lot of the time, is not it. But we will have new bodies transformed to be like his glorious resurrection body. That's complete healing, isn't it? And that's the assurance that Jesus desires for you today, to make you completely well. Do we recognize sickness? Do we believe Jesus has authority over sickness? Yes. Do we believe that God can and does heal people today? Yes. Some get healed in this life, but all of God's children get healed in the end with the resurrection of the dead to a place where there is no more sickness or sin or death or destruction or tears. Our God is a healing God. We're going to offer prayer this morning for people for healing. And we none of us who may pray with you can heal you ourselves. Only God can do that healing. We can pray for people, and God can choose to heal in this life or not as he wills. But more importantly, he longs that we know his complete healing of our lives through the cross of Jesus Christ. But James does encourage us, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Hopefully we've done that. Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I'm just going to pray, then we're going to sing. Then the service will be kind of officially over, but we're going to offer people opportunity for prayers for healing. There may be people who want to come to the front foot for prayer. You may just want to sit where you are. And if you raise your hand, then we'll send somebody to come and pray with you. You might not have your own issues that you need prayer for. You might just want to sit there and pray for somebody else that you know who desperately needs God's healing hand, physically or spiritually. So people will be available. No one's going to rush away. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And then the band are going to go on and sing another piece afterwards. Feel free to stay or go as you choose. And there will be people around to pray. Let's pray. Father God, in this week leading up to Halloween, where people will celebrate evil and make evil as fun, Lord, we pray against the enemy. We pray against his servants, their work and their effects. We pray against sickness and disease in our world, which is an effect of the fall into sin. Father God, we pray you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. And Lord Jesus, we claim your victory on the cross, where you paid the debt and you freed us from our slavery to sin, where you defeated our enemy Satan. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your victorious resurrection, and that you are now seated above all principalities and powers and spirits, and that you, Lord Jesus, have all authority above all the authorities of men to deal with sickness and disease. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that those of us who believed in you, that you delegate your authority to us so that we can pray for people who are suffering today. We cannot heal them, only you can, but we can exercise that authority in your name. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't become over anxious about Satan, his demons, and their powers, because they are nothing compared to your strength and power. But Lord, help us to recognize the reality of Satan, of his demons, and of sickness and disease. And Lord, we rebuke them in your name. And Lord, we do so humbly before you, dependent on you. And Lord, we pray this morning for any here who as yet have not put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, for complete healing. We pray that even this morning, Lord, people will turn to you so that they can start to live victorious lives, conquering the evil one each day. Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.